you listen to Steve Wright's show in the afternoons, you will have heard her very frequently. She's one of the regular co-presenters on there, and it's still, at this stage, the biggest audience on any radio programme in the UK. She's really good value. She has a lively Christian faith. She had a number one hit, I believe, or a top 10 hit, sorry, a few years ago, with a band that you'll never have heard of, but she'll doubtless tell you about it. She's really good evening. There's no cost for this. Very welcome to give a donation, but there's no cost for the evening. If you'd like to come along, if you'd like to bring friends along, you can book your tickets on the website, and I would suggest that you get on and do that. So that's the last Sunday of January. It'll be a really, really good evening. So do see if there's someone you can think of to bring along to that with you. Can I remind you too that there's still car parking available at the nursery just the other side of the railway bridge at Newbury Gardens Nursery. They very kindly let us use their car parking. So particularly if you come down tomorrow for Christingle and it's very, very busy, or Christmas morning, you can use that. So don't forget that that is available to you. There are church meeting papers available in the pigeonholes for our church meeting on the first Sunday of the new year. If you don't get those by email, go and find those in your pigeonholes, and please do take them home with you. And don't forget that it's church tomorrow too. It's Christmas Eve tomorrow. So if you're able to come down at 4 o'clock in the afternoon for our Christingle service, it would be really, really lovely to see you and to welcome you at that. It does get really busy, just a little warning to you there. So do come early if you're coming to that. And then if you'd like to come and see us through to Christmas together, then come 11:30 tomorrow night, and we'll have a little reflective service together, which we'll finish with communion, and then just take us, as it were, over the bridge into Christmas Day. Now it's time that I lit the last of these candles. See, I always dither each week about which one to light, so I keep them even. It doesn't matter this week, because I can light all of them, because this is the fourth Sunday of Advent. You know, years after baby Jesus was born, the adult Jesus would stand up in the temple. In a big loud voice, he would say, "I am the light of the world. Whoever walks with me will never walk in darkness." Let's stand together. Back. know, when we get to heaven, I'll have a sense of rhythm and we'll all know the words, both of which will be good. Do sit down, we're going to pray together. Father, thank you for the light that Jesus brings into the world. Thank you, Father, for the candle of hope that he lights, which is never extinguished. And as we look at his story again today, Father, touch our very lives, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for the second time in a space of a month, I have loaned out my story box. I haven't even decided what goes in here today. Somebody else has. So I'm going to ask the somebody else, Jonathan, to come out and join me, because I said to him, look, why don't you put some things in this box? Come and have a look. I said, put some things in this box that tell us about your life. So I don't know what's in there. We'll find out in a minute. I know your life. Anybody else coming out? Oh, brilliant. Excellent. So, you help yourself, Jonathan, and you can tell us about it, and I'll put some pictures on the screen.
Good morning. I'm obviously not the authority. Kerry said, I know your life. Hey, I don't know how to get into the box. Oh, you can show me. Thank you very much. So, first of all, it's a picture of a Labrador. Do you know what special kind of Labrador it is?
Me.
Go on.
Golden Retriever Labrador.
Well, yeah, Golden Retriever Labrador. But what kind? Do you know? That yellow band there, looking at it as well. Anybody know?
Who? The dog wears something orange, and dogs can smell really well.
They can smell really well, yeah.
They can smell really well. Go on.
Is there a rescue dog?
A rescue dog. No. It's a dog that helps people who are blind.
Yeah, that's what I was
And one of the wonderful things that I do, which I love so much, is helping an organisation called Torch Trust, which works with people who are blind. And I go up to their head office in Leicestershire, and it's just like leaving home because we have a Labrador at our house. And there are often four or five Labradors there lying around all day, and it's just like being at home. And so that's part of my life, and which is really exciting, isn't it? That Jesus loves everybody, including blind people. Okay, second thing. Thank you for letting me come into your box. Second picture is, there we go. What's that a picture of? What's that lady, do you think? What's her job?
She helps people.
She helps people. Because?
She's a doctor.
She's a doctor? No, but similar.
A nurse.
She's a nurse, sorry, almost tricking you. So she's a nurse, and I work with an organisation, I'm a trustee of an organisation called Parish Nursing, and nurses are really important people. Did you know that?
Yeah.
We have to say that because my wife's a nurse, so I have to be very careful. But parish nurses are people who work in a church. They're registered nurses, and they use their skills to reach out to the community with love and care, and it's a brilliant organisation, and there are about 100 such parish nurses around the country, and I think it's a fantastic organisation, so I'm very happy to support that.
Okay, what's next?
What's next? Ah, what's this? Is it a lollipop?
No.
What is it? It's a microphone. Oh, we're good on the technical stuff. So it's a microphone. Yeah, and I work... Oh, just like that. I hardly needed this, didn't I? The real thing is there. But I work with an organisation called Premier Radio. And Premier Radio has three radio stations, and Richard's often been on it, and I've often been on it. And 1.2 million people. That's a lot of people, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know how many people live in your house, but it's not 1.2 million. I hope. And they listen to Premier Radio, which is fantastic, isn't it? And we try to tell people about Jesus, and we sing songs about Jesus. And I'm an ambassador for them because I think they've got a great message. And I tell people about Premier. So, that's that. And finally, there is a finally. This is quite testing. What do you think these are? What do you think? The top one looks like a church, doesn't it? And the bottom one doesn't look like a church. It looks like
a cross.
Oh, well done. It's got a cross, spots, Karis. Many people say it looks like a swimming pool or something like that. But they are both churches, and the top one is Eastleigh Baptist Church near Southampton Airport. in Eastleigh. And the other one is Waterlooville Baptist Church, which is just north of Portsmouth. And these are two churches that I'm caring for at the moment as moderator, and I'm helping them because they haven't got a minister, which is really sad. That's what we say. And we're helping them to find a minister, and so I'm called their moderator. So that's a bit of my life. You haven't seen anything of the family.
So four things there. We've got the churches, and we've got the radio. Can everybody remember what one of the other ones was?
Microphone.
What was one of the other ones? Gabriel, what have you got in your hand?
A nurse.
And then there was working with those who are blind. And now I'm going to ask Jonathan to shuffle along next to me a little bit here. And can some of you come round the back here? Let's get some of you at the back here. And some of you at the front. Because see, sometimes when grown-ups pray for people, they say, I want to lay hands on you. There's nothing magic about it. Just saying, this prayer is for you. So if you'd like to do that while I'm praying, you put a hand on Jonathan and say, we're going to pray for him for doing all these different things. So he won't bite you, I promise. Well, he might, but I've never known him to do it.
I think only Samuel.
Okay, that's right. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for all these things that Jonathan's shown us in the story box, for all these things that he's busy with, as he works with those who are blind, and as he works with Premier, as he works with the nurses in different churches, as he works with those two different churches looking for a minister too. In all those things, Father God, please, will you give him just what he needs to get the job done? Amen.
Can I give you a bookmark?
A bookmark?
A special bookmark, which is produced by Premier Radio, and then you can remember part of what I said. There we go. Very pretty.
Right.
Hey, do you want to take one of these?
You can go and sit down there, boys.
There you go.
Brilliant. Well done. Thank you, Jonathan.
Would you like one? There we go. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And more from Jonathan a little bit later on. Before we sing together, I've got to just say that when the children go out this morning, the creche is not staffed, so you would need to stay out there with your little one this morning if you have someone of creche age. Anyway, let's stand up and sing together before anybody goes out.
I was just having a hastily whispered conversation with Naomi. There is signing that goes with this that we think we remember, which is sing praise, sing praise, and then we sing forever God is faithful. Someone shake their heads if it's wrong. Forever God is strong. Forever God is with us. Forever. So if you'd like to join in with the signing, it always looks so lovely as we're looking out at us all joining in together with that. Thank you. Give thanks to the Lord our God and King. His love endures forever. For he is good, he is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise, sing praise. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For
Thank you. Do please sit down. Perhaps those who are going out to their different groups would like to do that now.
We're going to sing again a carol that we learnt or refamiliarised ourselves with a few weeks ago. And I love this carol because it doesn't just focus on what happened at Christmas, but the whole reason why Jesus came as a baby and what happened later on in his life as well. So if you'd like to join with me in singing this now.
Father, for that priceless gift, for changing everything forever, we give you our thanks this morning. And we pray that you would accept these gifts as small tokens of just how grateful we are. Bless them in your service, we pray. Amen. Can I ask Shirley now if she would come and read to us?
The reading from God's word this morning is Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. The shepherds and the angels. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great host of the heavenly host appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thanks, Shirley. May I just say further to the talk with the children, I have stuff with me. I always have stuff with me. Premier is a fantastic organisation. For those of you who don't know me, you think this guy has a weird way of life. He seems to do all sorts of different things. I give them a couple of days a month. I just think it's a great organisation and they are keen to use my contacts and relationships to spread the word. Christianity produces the most important, I'm sure I'm right in saying, the most important monthly Christian title, Christianity. It's a really good magazine. It engages with difficult issues, and it's a very contemporary word. I do commend it to you. It costs £5 a month, but copies at the back for free for you to see what it's like, and I commend it to you. This is Bishop Michael Curry, you remember, who preached at the royal wedding, probably, arguably, preached the gospel to 1 billion people at that time, more than anybody has been able to preach to on one occasion before. It's a real historic event. I commend that to you. You'll need to get there quickly because there aren't a tremendous lot. This is Youth and Children's Work magazine. Anybody who has any involvement in children's and youth work, I commend it to you, not just as a very stimulating read, but lots of resource material as well. Again, a fiver or free to you. If you don't have regular Bible reading notes, I do commend Voice of Hope to you, which is produced by Premier. And again, just love you to take that if you'd find that helpful. The bookmarks are there. Torch Trust. I've learned so much over the last few years, embarrassingly. The number of people with sight loss is constantly growing in this country. Therefore, the challenge of sight loss is becoming a more significant part of our society. Through macular degeneration, there are about 1 million people at the moment who suffer. In 20 years' time, it will be about 2 million people because of an aging population. That's not only, obviously, a really sad detail, and anybody, if you know anybody who's losing their sight, you'll know what an incredibly perplexing time that is. As an organisation, we're keen to get alongside people to give them support. They don't need to be Christians, to need support. They need support because they need support. And we've got a big drive at the moment saying to churches, is your church sight loss friendly? If somebody comes to this church who's losing their sight, are we in a position to give them the support and care that they need? So again, I commend that to you, and there's a flyer about parish nursing. But talk to me anytime. I'm conscious I am talking to somebody who, some people here this morning who don't know me, and that must be lovely. But we're meeting for the first time, and that's a privilege. I'm a member of this church, to clarify. My family is here every week. I'm a Baptist minister of many years standing, and the ministry I have at the moment, as you've just learned, is all over the place. And that's a privilege to serve God in that way, and lovely to be able to address you this morning. Let me pray with you as we ask to hear God's word. Father, we love this time of the year. It's a wonderful time of the year. But more than anything else, we love to hear what you've got to say to us. So speak to us your word of life in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the great blessings of Christmas is that we know the details so well. You're not listening to me this morning thinking, oh, probably learn something new about the birth of Jesus. There are very few details that we know at all. Only two Gospels give details of the birth of Jesus, Matthew and Luke. Actually, of the birth of Jesus, Matthew has almost nothing to say apart from the fact that it happened, for which we're grateful. Mark is so busy wanting to get on with proclaiming what the gospel is and what Jesus got up to that he doesn't even mention that Jesus was born. Thank you, Mark. But he just gets on with his job that he sees as most important. And John, bless him, writing a couple of generations after the life of Jesus, is in his own Greek philosophical world in which he profoundly reflects on the birth of Jesus, but doesn't give us any of the basic details. Fascinating, fascinating. So we've just got Matthew and Luke, those two accounts to deal with, and it's understandable that in order to make something more of it, we import the curious story of the visitors from the East, the Magi, the magicians, people from another religion who probably came 2 years later. But we import this because we're so desperate for something to remember of the birth of Jesus. The reality is, the basic story is, we only hear about one group of people coming to baby Jesus. Forget the Magi. They're probably 18 months later. Because we know Herod, remember, feeling nervous about a king who was born on his patch, he orders that children under the age of 2 should be killed. So it obviously wasn't straight after the birth of Jesus. Jesus would have been a toddler by the time that happened. So we've just got the shepherds. The shepherds are the ones with the front seat. What I love is that because we've got so few details to go for, we can relax. Our task together is simply to hear what God is saying to us today from the facts that we know. This is a living word. This word is sharper than any two-edged sword. So the question is, God, what are you saying to us today, now, Brexit land? What are you saying to us as we plan for 2019? What's your living word today? I believe there are two things that we particularly need to hear. Let's look at those shepherds for a moment. The first thing we need to do is just to stand back from the very detail that they were shepherds. Because we've lived with this story forever, haven't we? Some of us have been shepherds in nativity plays. Others of you have been sheep in nativity plays, and I pray that you came through it without too much scarring. But, you know, we know this story. We know it's shepherds. But just imagine, use your imagination for a moment. Just think to yourself, who would be the most obvious people to come to see Jesus? Who would be the most obvious people to come to the birthplace of the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah? And you think, well, forget the shepherds. We don't know about that. In our imagination, we're just thinking, who would be the obvious people to be there? You think, well, out of common courtesy, surely the high priest would be there. He represents the Jewish religion. This guy has come as the Messiah. Like, it's obvious. It's got to be the high priest. I mean, any rules of social etiquette would say it must surely be the guy who has responsibility for the Jewish faith. Or you say, okay, if it's not him, we know that there were some very devout people living in Jerusalem, people who daily were praying for the coming of Jesus, daily praying for the coming of the Messiah. Surely they would be extremely appropriate people to come and kneel at the foot of Jesus' bed. But no. When the Son of God came, he came to a bunch of shepherds. Now, shepherds are interesting people. They had to be incredibly tough. I'm not saying that it's easy to be a shepherd in this country. I have to be terribly careful about this. The first church for which I had pastoral responsibility, bless it, Charlton-on-Otmore Baptist Church, not far from Kidlington, just outside Oxford. Church of 8 members, and I loved being their pastor, a village church of village churches. Gordon, my church secretary, was a shepherd. And a couple of times I said things, as one does, generalizations about shepherds, and very graciously, but clearly, he picked me up on us at the end of the service. So I'm quite clear, shepherds have a really tough task in this country, bless. But let's forget the 4x4s, let's forget the green rolling countryside and go to Bethlehem. And if you've ever been to Bethlehem, I can assure you that you can look north, south, east and west and it's rocky desert. Rocky desert, not sand dune desert, rocky desert. There's very little growing. Shepherds have an incredible task just to find grass or scrub at all. It was really hazardous terrain. I'm not saying shepherds in this country are soft, but I am saying you've got to be really, really tough to be a shepherd in the environment of Bethlehem. Also look at the kind of people who are likely to do it. The kind of people who are likely to become shepherds tended to be dropouts of society. Often they were people on the run, criminals. It was just a good place to hide. You're under attack all the time. You're under attack always from wild animals, but you're also under attack from those who would love to steal your sheep. It's a tough job because obviously it was going to be very difficult for these people to wash themselves. Shepherds were famously smelly. Sorry about that detail, shouldn't bless you, but they were renowned for being smelly people, because they just didn't have the opportunity of getting clean. But more serious than that, in this connection, they were unclean in terms of religious practice. They could rarely get to the temple. What we're dealing with here is, therefore, the least likely group of people to come to a holy place and worship the Messiah. But they were the ones that God chose to be there. And so we meet the shepherds out in the fields. They hear the message. They run to see Jesus in Bethlehem. And then, having heard the message and rejoicing in the message, they run off to get their friends and to share the message. What is God saying to us today? I'm interested in now. What is God's living word for us now from that? The first thing I conclude is this, and just got 2 points. The first is that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is for absolutely everyone. I love the way in which time and again in the gospels, Jesus comes to the least likely people and draws them to himself. The word of God is that everyone is welcome. Over the last 5 years, I've done a lot of work deliberately with people who are disabled. I just think so often the church is not great at welcoming people with disability. The church feels nervous of welcoming people with disability. I've spent a lot of time with groups that welcome people with disability. I particularly think of those groups I've worked with, particularly with Prospects, working with people with learning disability. How do you make the good news of Jesus? Here's a question. How do you make the good news of Jesus Christ real to people who have no words? There's a challenge. Who will never speak in their lives. Wow. Jesus died on the cross for them. He came for them. How do we make the word real for them? I love to see the things that churches are doing to welcome people with learning disability. Some, of course, do have words. Some just have a few words. Some struggle to speak but understand everything. All those permutations are there. Jesus came for them because the gospel is for absolutely everyone. I met with a brilliant group, praise God for them, at Eastleigh, who I was very moved. They came to a day that I did, some were there from this church, I did at Thatcham 2 or 3 years ago, talking about how we welcome people with additional needs into the life of the church. And there were some folk from Eastleigh Baptist Church who were at that training day. And since that time, they've set up special events. They set up meetings to welcome the parents of people who've got children with disability, and they've been really blessed in that. And we were talking a couple of weeks ago about what more we can do to welcome people with learning disability. I told them about the group that meets at Upton Vale Baptist Church in Torquay, in Devon. At the same time as the sermon, which will not be accessible to people with a learning disability, it's just silly, don't try it, Upton Vale Baptist Church is famous as a preaching centre, but that's irrelevant to people with learning disability. So they've set up a group that goes out when the children go to their classes. This group goes to another place, and when I went, 30 or 40 people were there, and it's called their Be Together group, or their Be Two group, as they like to be known. And they're there, and they do what they can do. And they're involved in activities, and they sing songs, and they have something to eat and drink. And it's being together and sharing the good news of Jesus in a way that's appropriate to them. The good news of Jesus is for everyone. If it's for shepherds, the least likely people, we can be sure the good news of Jesus is for everyone. But also, the good news of Jesus is for people who are stubbornly resistant. I'm sure you know of people who are completely resistant to the Christmas message. They've just got no time for it. Maybe they've had a bad experience in a church, and many people have. In all humility, we have to say that does happen. They're resistant for that reason. Or maybe they feel that they've done such bad things in their lives that they could never, never become a Christian. They could never accept the Christian message. Whatever people's views, for whatever reason, they're resistant to the Christian message, we must be very respectful of their views. We must listen carefully to their objections, just receive them the way they are. But let's say Jesus came as a baby for people who are completely resistant to the Christian message. Maybe I'm talking about neighbors, people you work with, maybe people in your family. Lovely folk, but they're resistant to the Christian message. Can I say to you this Christmas time, Jesus came into the world for them. They may not know it at the moment, but that's a fact. He came into the world for them. I love walking through the gospel, see the way in which Jesus constantly is welcoming, surprising people. Luke, just keep with Luke for a moment, because he wrote the two books, Luke and Acts. Luke chapter 5, Jesus welcomes Levi, a tax collector. Well, if you want to give a bad name to your organization, why not recruit a tax collector? It's extraordinary, isn't it? Why would you do that? You'd think he would be very sensitive about getting just the right people, the right sort of image, right profile into his group. He gets a tax collector. Oh, why not give up on the organization before you start? I mean, but that's Jesus' agenda. Jesus welcomed surprising people. The way in which he draws attention, chapter 7, to the faith of the centurion. The centurion is an incredibly powerful soldier, got 100 men under him, who represents the hated, occupying Roman force. And Jesus says of him, I have not found such great faith even in Israel. Wow. Go to later on in chapter 7 where a prostitute comes to Jesus. Be very careful, Jesus. Make sure you say the right words. And Jesus lavishly welcomes this woman and says her faith, interestingly, she doesn't say anything in the whole story, but her faith, her worship of Jesus brings her into the family. Jesus says that her faith had made her acceptable. Chapter 15, the story of the lost son, the story of the young man who treats his father in a terrible way. Look, Dad, you look a bit peaky. Let's have my inheritance now. I mean, it's not a great line, is it? Goes off into a far country, squanders the money. has the temerity to come back home. Okay, he says, don't call me a son any longer. But he comes back home and is lavishly welcomed by his father. Then chapter 19, the story of Zacchaeus, another of these wretched tax collectors. I always feel the need to add, tax collectors these days are really lovely people. But in those days, they worked for the occupying Roman force. They were hated. And we know that the Roman army expected that they would defraud people. It expected that they would put their own taxes on top of the demanded Roman taxes. Jesus welcomes Zacchaeus. He hides in a tree. Why does he hide in a tree? Because he's small. Yes, we know that. But also because he was so hated by the people who would love to have lynched him. But Jesus welcomes him. Jesus goes to tea with him. All the time we see Jesus going for surprising people, welcoming them to himself. And then, of course, supremely in the Acts of the Apostles, in which we hear the story more than any other of Saul of Tarsus. See his transformation from being the murderous hater of the church to being the one who was the chief exponent of the Christian message throughout the Eastern Mediterranean. Please hear the message, my friends. This is good news for now, December 2018. As you think of your family, as those you're going to share Christmas with over the next few days, this Christian message is for you. Everybody's welcome. Everybody's welcome. The shepherds remind us of that. That was point one. Here's the second. The Christmas message involves transformation. The lives of the shepherds were turned upside down. Suddenly, they have a new purpose, a new sense of direction. They have a message that needs to be shared with the world. Christian message is one that is always about transformation. Can I be straightforward with you for a moment? The Christian message is transformation for us. Why? Because you are a sinner. You are a sinner. I know that. I can say it with authority because I'm one, and because the reality is here on earth, we all fall short of the perfect standard that God would have for us. We all fall short. And any degree to which we fall short of 100%, which you and I do, we just need to be real about it, as we fall short, what we're doing is any percentage that we lack of that 100% is we're depriving ourselves of life. That's what's happening. We're depriving ourselves of the peace which God wants us to do. We're depriving ourselves of the joy, the happiness that God wants us to know. We're depriving ourselves of the love that God wants to rule in our hearts. Therefore, because we're not perfect, if you think you are, have a chat with me later. It'd be a really interesting conversation. I'd feel terribly threatened by you, but I mean, if you have a problem like that. But if you recognize that you fall short of that 100% standard, then your daily need, like mine, is for transformation. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. This is deep stuff. I recognize that many people end up thinking that belonging to a church is like or similar to being a member of the National Trust or similar to being a member of a local historical society, both of which are very excellent things to do. Do not feel guilty. But the nature of those organizations is you have a membership, you pay a certain amount each year, and you get something out of it. But it's added to life. It's a blessing. It's a good thing. But it's not life itself. Following Jesus is life itself. It's 24/7. It's day by day. It's moment by moment. It's all that we have and all that we are. So the objective of life is to get to know God better and better. Because as we do so, will experience more of his life. Let me ask you this. If you accept with me that What we're involved in is this process of transformation. Let me ask you, in what ways has God transformed you over the last year? In what way have you been renewed by God over the past year? It begins with the mind, Paul says in Romans, by the renewing of our mind day by day. Not just changing a few activities. They're the expression of what's going on in our minds. But changing our mind day by day. What I find so fascinating, reading literature, reading the scriptures, looking back through the pages of history, is that the agenda of human beings today in our sophisticated society, the agenda is exactly the same as 2,000 years ago. If you choose 4,000 years ago or 100 years ago, go wherever you like. The agenda is, just open any newspaper and you'll find the evidence for it. The agenda is money, sex, and power. That's the agenda, it always was. That's how it is. And if God is to transform us, he needs to transform our minds, as he always did need. Are you allowing God to transform you? That's the big question of Christmas. Are you allowing God to transform your mind? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul talks very realistically about all the challenges of life and of his ministry. And then he says that because of the transforming power of Christ, quote, therefore we do not lose heart. Isn't that beautiful? His ministry was incredibly tough. He faced death on many occasions. He faced horrible opposition. He was deserted by his friends on many occasions, all of that. But he said, we don't lose heart. And then he says this, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Outwardly, we are inevitably and unflatteringly wasting away. Sorry, I'm trying to encourage you, but it's just the way it is. Our bodies waste away. They're not intended for eternity, never were. Our bodies are wasting away, and I just offer myself as a visual aid of this process. It's just the way it is. That's the normal process of growing old. And here's the exciting bit. He says, outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Wow. This may be a very familiar story, a bunch of shepherds coming to see Jesus, but it's God's word for us today. Hear two things. One, whoever you're thinking of this Christmas time, whoever you're thinking of, God loves them and welcomes them to himself. Point two, whoever you are, God's desire is that you should more fully live your life for him, that you should be transformed by the renewing of your mind. May God allow his word to rest deeply with us and to transform the way in which we see this Christmas time. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your living word, and we pray, Lord, for all those people who are part of our lives, those people we'll meet over the coming hours. We think of our neighbours, we think of our families, we think of the people at work. Lord, we thank you that you love each one and you draw them to yourself. Help us, we pray, to live like that, to share your love with all the people we meet. And Lord, we pray for transformation. Lord, we need to be transformed, all of us. We need to be renewed day by day. So come to us in the power of your Spirit, Lord, that we may experience that transformation, may know your life renewing us each and every day. We pray this in the name of the baby of Bethlehem, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I recognize in a sermon like this, it triggers lots of things and lots of concerns, and as we think of other people, but also as we think of our own lives. I know it's true of other people, but Richard and I would actually love nothing more than to pray with you if you'd find that helpful. So just catch us and say, if you want to, I'd love to pray with you about something. That would just be a brilliant moment for us and a privilege if you wanted to do that. We stand to sing our final song together. My Jesus, my Saviour. Let's worship our great Lord together. Thank you that there is nothing ever that could ever compare with the promise we have in you. Lord, you are life itself. Thank you for your gift of life. May we, like the shepherds, bring to you this Christmas time our worship, and may we then eagerly go to share this good news with those around us. And so may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us this day and always. Amen.